Hey there, guys. Welcome to the Layup Lions podcast. It was a busy weekend in sports this week, from Melo getting traded to Trump's feud with the NFL, the NBA, and North Korea.
Vandy getting spanked.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to talk about that yet, Seth. That's for later in the show.
I'm trying, chap. I'm really trying.
Yeah, I know you are. But, yeah, so let's get into, the practical implications of this Thunder deal from Melo. You gave up Enes Kanter and a second-round pick and
somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else who does, like, who was a it? Bench player who doesn't even matter to the team yet. But, so, Nick, what do you think about this trade?
Honestly, I think it was a great trade. If you think about it, we've given up Enes Kanter, a nobody, second-round pick, Doug McDermott,
It was Doug McBuckets.
He was basically just a shooter. Like, he was he was kind of a one-trick
pony. He's
a
floor spacer, man.
And then to get PG, we gave up Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. Like, I feel we made a lot of progress in this offseason, and I feel like we definitely can contend to get past that Western Conference Finals against, more than likely, the Warriors.
Is there a preseason GM of the year?
Sam Presti has been on it, though. Like, since he's been running the show in OKC, he's always been trying to – he's never been trying to tank and trying to win in the lottery draft.
Yeah.
But, like, he's always been trying to put pieces and make trades to help us out. So, he's actually I really like him as a GM.
Oh, yeah. Because he could have easily just, like, tanked. He could have not gotten anybody this offseason, let Westbrook walk to probably the Lakers – or whoever next year, and then...
But do you let Westbrook walk? Like, do you just let someone who just won the MVP just walk away?
No.
You don't, but I think there's a lot of GMs out there who would have, is the thing. So I'm proud of them for that, because...
Yeah.
I mean, Danny Ainge would have traded him, but, like...
Danny Ainge definitely would have traded him. He would have traded him, like... maybe halfway through his MVP season when he realized they weren't going to win a title.
Maybe, but...
Got, like...
Yeah, no, Sam Presti had a heck of an off-season.
He really did have a lot of Nets picks, though.
It's so sad that his days with the Nets picks are over. Man. Dude,
that was a hashtag I always looked forward to on Twitter. Hashtag Nets pick.
Oh, yeah.
What were you about to say?
But no, I think that Melo's is going to have to learn to play a little bit off the ball, though.
Yeah.
He's not going to have as many ISO situations. He's not going to have as many touches. It's going to be more playing off of Russ and PG, too. So
I think
he might be at that age in his career where he knows that he has to sacrifice to get a ring. So I'm hoping that he's at that point, because I think all of us – in OKC, I'm not in OKC, but all the Thunder fans, we want to win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since KD left.
Yeah. It would be nice to get back at the Warriors.
Yes.
But, no, yeah.
For certain.
We'll see you in the finals.
Yeah, we'll see. Because, I mean, Dwayne Wade's just signed to Cleveland, so...
Yeah.
That kind of shifts it back over to Cleveland, I think.
Yeah. I think that series is going to be great, too. But, no, I agree with you. I think Melo definitely needs to be more of, like, a spot-up shooter, not play with the ball in his hands, because that's all he did in New York, like, the entire time he was there, pretty much.
And it's not like they're all going to be on the floor at the same time all the time. He's going to have chances to, like, take it up court.
Yeah.
Take over. Yeah, he will. Yeah.
But one thing that does concern me, though, was at Media Days – the other day, he said that he wants to just play his game, which
you're part of the press. That's why you're a journalism major. You're looking too deep into it. I think because most of his comments were more about I'm here to win. Like that's the reason I wanted to be a part of this. I want to be a part of what Russ was doing. Okay. So I think that's more of the journalism, media, press that you're looking at. Yeah.
And I was also, like, doing homework on my computer while the press conference was going on. I just, like, looked up for 5 seconds, and I heard that come out of his mouth. It was a little bit concerning because historically his game has been dribble the ball for 23 seconds and find a semi-open shot and maybe make it, maybe not.
And also, it's our job to just stir the pot and look to create a story where there is none. So
That's why so many athletes are getting angry with these reporters because they're twisting our words.
Hey, I can get a story out of that. Let's go.
Nick Velasquez angry at all the Cardinal and Cream reporters.
It's all good, though.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to see PG and Melo and Russ play together. But what's, in your opinion, Nick, what's the starting lineup going to look like? Because you added Pat Patterson, Andre Roberson's still there, Steven Adams is still there. One of those three guys is going to be on the bench.
Oh, yeah. No, I think be Russ at the one, obviously. Roberson at the two, PG at the three, Melo at the four, Steven Adams at the five. And then Patterson coming off the bench. We just signed Isaiah Cannon. He'll probably help out. But I think the real key to that team is gonna have to be Steven Adams. He's not gonna have to score a lot, but we're gonna need his presence in the paint.
Yeah, especially if Melo's playing the four.
Exactly, and he's got to average at least double digit rebounds and two blocks.
Oh yeah,
he can do that.
He can. Yeah. I think he can too. Yeah. So I think Steven Adams could have a breakout year despite having all these weapons around him.
Yeah, I agree. Because he also doesn't have to fight for minutes with Enes Kanter anymore. Because while they do have better players, they don't have as good of players at his position anymore. And they, like, obviously none of those three stars can play the five at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that there's a chance that they experiment with PG at the two and Melo at the three and starting Pat Patterson.
Yeah, there is. But I'm looking at that defensive lineup, though, with Russ, PG, and Roberson, just holding down the wing and the point.
And Steven Adams.
And Steven Adams in the paint.
It doesn't matter that Melo's on
the paint. I know. we could hide Melo.
Just have Melo sit at the offensive end. Yeah. Pass it to him when you get the rebound.
Exactly. So I think we'll definitely make some noise.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
In my opinion, the Thunder is the second best team in the NBA right now, at least on paper. Damn. They haven't played together, obviously, yet. So
That's a statement, chap.
Yeah, that is.
Are you sure they could beat the Union Bulldogs?
That'd be a good game.
It would be a good game.
Come to Fred DeLay. Check it out.
You think we'd finally get some fans in the stands at that point?
Hey, maybe. Whatever we got to do. We'll do a 2K sim of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll make you and Charlie Wilson. All you guys on 2K. That would be phenomenal, actually. I want to see that game.
Yeah, well, we'll get blown out.
I've heard rumors and whispers of a banana boat getting together, man. Next season.
Banana boat.
You know,
CP3, D-Wade, LeBron, and Melo.
Oh yeah.
They can all be free agents in 2018. They've talked about their whole careers wanting to play together at some point.
I know. I don't know. I feel like it'd be hard to leave if we win a championship or we're in the finals. So
true. Yeah, that's true. What if you lose to the Warriors, though?
I mean, I still think that's a point where it's still very respectable, and it's hard to leave a team like that if you make it to the Western Conference Finals.
And it depends too if you take it seven games, ball bounced the other way a couple times. I don't know.
That's what we thought with Durant, but I mean, you see what happened with that, you know?
True.
he copped out, but
yeah. I mean, Melo to the Warriors. Oh my God!
I really hope not.
That would be absolutely terrible, but
we're excited. Definitely are excited.
Yeah. Thunder Celtics in the NBA Finals. We'll see about it. Maybe a third place.
Third place series.
Yes. The NBA should implement that, man.
No.
Because the Cavs and the Warriors have been there the last 3 years.
They already play too many games.
That's true. But
we'll see.
I want to get into Trump's comments here about Steph Curry and really just the whole Warriors yeah. team. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Trump, obviously, this past weekend, uninvited Steph Curry to the White House when Steph Curry was indecisive slash just not going to show up.
Yeah.
So what are y'all's thoughts on that specifically? Not even getting into the NFL side of it yet.
So, Chap, have you ever asked a girl out?
Yes.
Have you ever been rejected?
Yes.
And then after you got rejected, you said, oh, that's fine. I didn't want to go out with you anyway.
No, I didn't.
Oh, see, so you're an adult then. Interesting how that works. I don't think Trump understands that that's how things work. When you invite someone and they say no, at that point the invitation no longer exists. Like, you can't just take it back.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what LeBron said on Twitter, like, right after.
Exactly.
Trump. And Trump uninvited him via Twitter. It's...
I don't think I've ever seen a president make so many announcements about our country over Twitter.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's literally in like a Twitter war with North Korea.
A
right
Twitter
now.
War, like what? This is really 2017 right now.
Yeah, like he's in a Twitter war with North Korea whilst like preparing to launch nuclear weapons
and
in that direction.
And at the same time, fire every NFL player.
Yeah, no. No, let's talk about that, though. Cause, oh, my gosh. What Trump said about the NFL players last week, and I don't want to offend anybody at Union. I'm sure I will. But what Trump said about the NFL players last week honestly made me sick. Not even just because I think the NFL players are necessarily completely right for sitting or kneeling or what have you for the national anthem, but because in a position of authority, by saying what Trump said, he's compromising like the fabric of America and the freedoms that we have, and that's extremely dangerous to me, and I'm honestly scared of what's going to happen if Trump stays president for the next, 7.5 years if he gets reelected.
I think what people fail to understand is the reason why they're kneeling.
Yeah.
People are quick to put it on that they have no respect for the military and they have no respect for the country, but that's not the reason why they're kneeling. They're kneeling because of social injustices in our country that still keep happening over and over, and they have a platform to do that. They've clearly stated that it is not about the country. They respect the country, they respect our troops and everything that they do for us, but yeah, it's more about social injustice in our country, and people are so quick to pin it on that they just have no respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the Steelers left tackle who like came out of the locker room and stood for the anthem last week, he said the next day that his teammates who stayed in the locker room and Mike Tomlin were as patriotic as anybody he's ever met. Just they're being patriotic in a different way than the traditional sense of what we call patriotism. They're trying to bring attention to and fix the problems that they see in this country.
Exactly. I mean, is it patriotic to kill an unarmed black man? Like, I wouldn't say so, but
yeah,
I guess if you don't stand for the anthem, that means that you're not patriotic.
Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. But Seth, your thoughts?
I'm a football guy. I like football.
Seth doesn't want to get in trouble here.
Whew. All right, so we live in Jackson. So let's see.
Predominantly voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Who, me?
No.
No, Jackson. Predominantly voted
Tennessee.
For Trump.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was about to say, I didn't vote, man. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Which people, I guess, people are just as mad about people not voting as voting for Hillary or whatever. But no, man, it's just... It rubs me a certain way. I grew up with like mostly black friends, and so like it makes me feel some type of way when I see, you know, stuff like Tamira Rice, 12, 14-year-old boy playing in a park in Baltimore, gets shot by two police officers, dies, and they get paid time off. And, like, that's it. Nothing happens. And, like, that to me is something that is, it's not okay. And there are too many cases like that that have been going on, especially in recent years, that are getting, you know, more publicity, and people are starting to see it. And then, you know, when black people decide to protest and they decide to stand up to make these things known, you have so many people saying, hey, you can't protest that way. They protest peacefully, you can't do that. They protest violently, you can't do that. You know, we're telling them, you are not allowed to have a voice in America. Like, you can't. You have to sit back and take whatever you're given.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that, like, that's what it's about. It's about the social injustices. It's not about, like you were saying, Nick, it's not about being disrespectful or whatever to the flag or to our country, because I have as much respect as anybody for the military because they fought for our freedoms to be able to protest in this way, which unfortunately I think we have a lot of people in leadership positions, including Donald Trump, who don't think that we should have those freedoms, which is just, it hurts me. But yeah, on that note, we'll get into
speaking of football.
Speaking of the NFL, the Titans this week. Yeah. They looked great against the Seattle Seahawks.
They did. That offense is looking real good.
Oh yeah. Marcus Mariota had a really solid game. He didn't do anything crazy. He didn't hurdle a guy or throw some crazy deep pass, but he did all the little things that he needed to do, and he orchestrated the offense. And then our offensive line and Jahlstin Fowler, our fullback, were absolutely phenomenal. Jahlstin Fowler had one play. It was DeMarco Murray's touchdown run where he got a block like 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, and then he ran with DeMarco Murray downfield, 70 yards downfield, and got a block that got DeMarco Murray into the end zone. So our blocking schemes have just been working to perfection the last couple of weeks against Jacksonville and Seattle. But
they do look good. Yeah. They do look good.
Unfortunately, defensively, we gave up like 4 touchdowns to Russell Wilson, but our secondary could be better. Adoree Jackson has played all right. Logan Ryan's been not really quite as good as I expected coming from the Patriots, but he's been solid back there. And then Kevin Byard's been good, but
I mean, it was just a good week for NFL football.
Yeah,
starting really off with the Rams 49ers Thursday game.
To anybody who has ever dissed Thursday night football, go back and watch the Rams Niners game, because that was the craziest, probably the most entertaining game of the year so far, 3 weeks in, which, like, it's the Rams and the 49ers. You would not expect. Yeah,
you wouldn't have expected that one.
You would not expect
that. Looking at their resumes last year.
Yeah, but no, Jared Goff looked like a number one overall pick in that game. Brian Hoyer looked like a competent starter in that game. I mean, it was just a good game. And then the onside kick at the end, the crazy offensive pass interference that cost the 49ers the game. I personally did not at all agree with that call.
But that's fine. I mean, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things?
I mean, it doesn't. It might matter in the sense that the Rams are 2-1 and they've played very well. Maybe they sneak in, or at least make some noise and prevent somebody else from getting in down the road. But no, from the 49ers perspective, that's actually probably a good thing, because now they're ahead of the Jets in the number one pick conversation, because the Jets won.
Yeah, no, we got a dub. We got a dub this weekend, and I was so proud of them. The Jets, they predicted us not to win a single game this year, and we defied all odds.
Yeah.
You did it again. Fake news again.
Yeah. Coming out. Yeah, no, the Giants don't even have a win, so yeah. I'm happy right now.
You're the best team in New York right now.
We're the best team in New York.
But And y'all were trying to lose, too. That's the crazy part about it.
Let's tone that down. We got the win.
No, I don't mean in that game. But, the front office was trying to set things up where y'all would lose and get your pick between Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen.
Yeah, we traded our best defensive player for Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah. Which, y'all didn't need a wide receiver.
We did.
Quincy Enunwa was the best one on your roster, and he was hurt.
Yeah.
So.
No, we definitely needed a wide receiver. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, we could get a little bit more, but it's all right.
Yeah. Jermaine Kearse, by the way, has been a sneaky good fantasy player.
He has.
I picked him up this week in one of my leagues, and I'm really excited about him because nobody owned him because he plays for the Jets, and nobody thinks the Jets.
Come on now. Come on, chap. Don't do my Jets like that.
Also, important information here, Jaguars, 44-7.
Joe Flacco was so bad.
Are you saying he's not elite, chap?
Joe Flacco was never elite, in my opinion. He had four phenomenal playoff games. He got hot in January one time.
So you're saying he was elite for four games?
Okay, fine. So he was elite for four games.
What I'm hearing is that Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback.
No.
Is that what you're saying, chap?
No, he played like an elite quarterback. For four games.
And won a Super Bowl.
And won the Super Bowl and put Ray Lewis.
I said Ray Rice. Ray Lewis.
I don't know what happened there. I was thinking of Ray Rice and then I started to say Jerry Rice, but no. Gosh. Joe Flacco did put Ray Lewis out on top though, which that was a phenomenal story. But
so is it time to move the Jags to London?
Yeah, they are 4-0 in London games.
Yeah, the best London team of all time.
But I think they are 5-11 since 2015 when they're playing in America.
That's crazy. Yeah, the Jags have looked good this year though. They looked great in the first game against Houston. They absolutely shut down whatever was left of the Houston offense. Tom Savage starting at quarterback for that game, but Deshaun Watson threw, I want to say, two interceptions after he came in too. But and then they did lose to the Titans last week, but they looked, I mean, they couldn't have looked any better against the Ravens. Held Flacco to, I want to say, 28 passing yards.
Yeah,
absolutely insane.
That reminds me of another number. Didn't Bandy's QB have 15 passing yards?
It was 18, Nick.
18. 18 I'm sorry.
Passing yards. And FYI, he would have had about 40 passing yards had our tight end not dropped a ball that got intercepted. It was our first drive of the game. We were rolling, okay? We got to the 45-yard line.
You guys were on it.
So you know how you were talking about Kyle Schirmer having the best QBR in the country?
We're not talking about that right now.
Do you understand what his QBR for that game was?
What was it?
3.1.
Three? Is that, even possible?
And your backup had 20 yards with a QBR of 6.4.
That's like taking the SAT and only writing your name.
All you have to do is show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't even know if they showed up.
I'm not sure he did.
I'm trying to defend Schirmer here, guys. Let me get one thing in.
Yeah, I don't know if he showed up.
Schirmer had we were at the 45-yard line. Schirmer had a beautiful 25-yard pass to our tight end, and it just bounced off of his hands for an interception.
I don't even know
that
it bounced off of it. I think he just popped it up.
Yeah, but that's what caused the Alabama or the momentum to go Alabama's way. We had the momentum at that point in the game. We could have pulled it out.
Had the momentum at that.
I don't know if you
ever
had.
What was the final score?
59-0.
This was the first drive of the game.
Also, Alabama scored 21 points in the first quarter.
This was the first drive of the game, though. They hadn't had the ball yet.
21-10, 21-7, 0-0-0-0.
they had momentum, all right. It was like a tsunami coming that way. That's how much momentum they had.
Waiting for the comeback, man. Crimson Tide with the greatest comeback in.
Seth, I know you got all the stats pulled up.
Yeah.
What was the total yards for each team?
Ooh, total yards?
What was the total yards?
Whew.
Could you remind me?
78 for Vandy. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they went wild.
Yeah.
We put up nearly 100 yards on Alabama, you guys.
And what was Bama's total yards?
A scorching 78 yards. How much is this? Oh, I got to do math here. Gosh dang it. Hold on. Let me just go to teams.
Yeah, you know, just
go 677.
Wow.
677.
How many rushing yards?
Oh, jeez, man.
At least 400.
I think it was over 400.
496.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Almost 500 rushing yards.
Oh, my God.
Vandy had 40, though.
I feel like they had so many three and outs. Like, it was just...
Oh, my gosh. Time of possession. Can I just...
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Oh, my gosh. Alabama had possession for 42 minutes and 55 seconds.
We had the ball for, like, 17 minutes against Alabama?
17 minutes and 5 seconds.
Dude, that's phenomenal.
Wow.
That's the best stat of the game for us, man. We had the ball for over a quarter collectively.
Also, I just want to point out, you had more yards off penalties than passing yards.
Bama was just completely...
And your passing yard and your rushing yards were tied for yards off penalties.
Wow. Bama was just getting flags thrown, man.
They were undisciplined this game.
They were undisciplined.
Chap, what did that nose tackle say before the game? Could you remind me?
It was, when you come to Nashville, we show you how to play SEC ball.
Wow.
Bama, you're next.
Bama does not know how to play SEC ball.
Clearly.
I feel like they invented the SEC, the dynasty they have right now.
Yeah. But I think the most telling thing about that game for me was the fact that Nick Saban smiled after the game. I haven't seen him smile after, like, any game that wasn't a national championship since, like, he was with LSU, I think. So the fact that he smiled made me feel real bad.
Everybody had fun that day, Jeff.
There's not much to not be happy about. I think the only thing
that's
you can
That's like the perfect game.
The only thing you can really be unhappy about is Jalen Hurts didn't have a great passing day, but he still ran for 48 yards.
He probably sat at the end of the first quarter.
Probably.
Yeah, no, they brought in their other quarterback. Tua. They brought in Tua.
Who went like 8 for 10 for 103 yards.
Yeah, didn't he have two? He had two TDs, right?
Yeah, he had two TDs, and his QBR was 98.6.
Wow.
And that's the ESPN scale, right?
Yeah.
So out of 100?
Yeah.
If you combine his QBR with Kyle Shermer's QBR, it's over 100.
101.7 to be exact, Chaffee.
All right.
Oh, wow. Kyle Shermer, man.
I honestly didn't even watch the game because I already knew what was going to happen.
I watched the game.
It was inevitable. As soon as I heard that nose tackle make those comments, I already knew it was a wrap.
I mean, I flipped to the game here and there just to see, like, the timer go up, and then I realized it was the score.
I watched the game. I watched the first part of it with my roommate, who's an Alabama fan. I watched the second part of it with the editor-in-chief here, who's an Alabama fan.
Gosh.
And I watched like 5 minutes of it with the faculty advisor for Cardinal and Cream, Ted Cluck, who's a Michigan / I guess just a Michigan fan, really. We wound up switching to the Michigan fan because that was a much better game against Purdue. But
hey, bright side though, Ralph Webb almost had a first down one time.
What was his long rush, like 9 yards?
Yeah.
Ralph Webb was supposed to be one of the best running backs in the SEC.
Wow.
All right, I've got to fulfill a bet here, guys. I made a bet with my roommate that if Vandy lost, I had to admit on the podcast that Alabama is better than Vanderbilt. So
go for it.
Alabama is better than Vanderbilt.
I feel like it shouldn't have taken a bet for you to admit that. But
Hold on, time out. Are we talking about like as a school or football program?
That was just the bet. I had to say those words. I don't believe any of them.
So Vandy is still the better team.
they just had an off game.
It was all our tight end's fault for dropping that pass and losing the momentum.
They collectively had the flu. It was all a flu game, and they still had 78 yards against Alabama.
Maybe that was the case. Yeah. But
probably some bad Kobo food.
I wonder about those D1 schools if the cafeterias are any better.
Yeah, they probably eat a little bit better than us.
Some of them are. Yeah. Some of them are.
But to be fair, Union's got a pretty good calf. For a D2 school, you're making some faces over here, Nick.
Yep, I'm going to go with you on that one.
Love Kobo. Shouts out to Joe from the cafeteria. Shouts out to my boy Brian, also a Celtics fan.
Shout out to all the toilet paper I need after I eat Kobo.
Ain't lying. Keeping Charmin Ultra in business.
They have definitely profited since I've been here.
Oh, man.
What else is on the agenda here, chap?
What? There were a lot of upsets in the NFL this week. We talked about the Jets a little bit.
That wasn't an upset.
You're right. Jay Cutler was the quarterback.
That was not an upset.
It's never an upset. But the Redskins annihilated the Raiders. The Raiders couldn't get anything done offensively.
Yeah.
The Bears beat the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger looked hurt than usual.
The Chiefs are having a heck of a start to the season.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The Chiefs look like the best team in the NFL.
I'm telling you, my boy Maurice Swain rubbed off on him. Training camp, man, I'm telling you.
Wow. Maurice Swain, you went to high school with him, right?
Yeah.
And he played, like, training camp for the Chiefs this year.
Oh, yeah.
Training camp.
Played the preseason.
That's definitely why they're
That's still an accomplishment, though.
Yeah.
It's definitely an accomplishment.
But, well, anyways, guys, I guess that's all we have for today. So we will see you.
Picks.
I forgot about that. Wow. All right. Yeah, so we do this thing that we started last week where we each pick an underdog in college football every week. And the points are cumulative. So if your underdog wins, then you get however many points they are an underdog by. So I picked Vandy last week. I didn't get my 18.5 points. Nick picked Cal over USC. They hung in there, but ultimately USC was too much. But then Seth Horton got 12 points by picking, what was it, NC State over Florida State?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Seth's in the lead now with 12 points. Me and Nick are still trying to get on the scoreboard.
Also, if I can just be a homer real quick, South Carolina beat NC State. NC State beats Florida State. South Carolina is better than the rest of the ACC. So.
What?
South Carolina?
What about Clemson?
Yeah. What?
What about Clemson?
Clemson's trash. They almost lost to Boston College. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no. That's going to be my pick, actually, is I'm picking Central Michigan over Boston College. Mm. 7.5-point underdogs. I just think Central Michigan's a good team.
Yeah.
But despite losing Corey Davis to the Titans. But what's your pick, Seth?
My pick was North Carolina over Georgia Tech.
Okay. Yeah. How many points is that?
10-point spread.
10 points.
Okay.
So, and lastly, my pick, I will be going with Vandy taking the win at Florida.
Yes!
I'm just kidding. I ain't going with that
one.
I'm going with Tennessee over Georgia.
Nice.
You switched from Vandy to Tennessee, Nick. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I could not.
I've been stabbed in the back by
If Vandy wins another game this season, I will applaud you.
Yeah, no, I will too.
Oh, my gosh. No, we'll win some games. We still got to play, like, Western Kentucky and Missouri.
But after how bad you got beat by Alabama, I'm not sure.
The morale has got to be pretty low. They're probably not the most positive team right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But so Tennessee over Georgia.
That's a 7.5 spread.
7.5. All right. So we're all in the same range this week. 7.5, 7.5, and 10.
All right. Going big.
All right. We'll see how all of those work out. But anyways, this is actually the end of the show, you guys. So I appreciate you for listening. Tune in next week for another episode of Layup Lines.